you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
So good to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. In case you're just joining us for this hour of the program, we have wonderful news. A little bit bittersweet because we lose him, at least around our studios and our offices. A. Martinez, after a nationwide search, has been chosen by NPR as the new co-host of Morning Edition. He'll be hosting every morning from very early in the morning, as you know, with the East Coast start time for that. A starts in July, his new hosting duties on the National Morning Edition. You'll be able to hear him right here on KPCC. And as you travel around the country, you'll hear him wherever you're listening to Morning Edition. It's just wonderful to be able to share A's talents with the rest of the country. We're sure going to miss him as a co-worker and colleague here, but I'm hoping we can still keep him as a member of the Triple Play, along with Nick Roman, to talk baseball and other sports right here on Air Talk on KPCC. Details about the future of Take Two will be forthcoming in the coming days, but A will continue to host the program through the middle of June right here on KPCC before heading to his new gig. And A, we just wish you all the best, my friend. Just so deserved, and it's going to be a wonderful addition to national NPR programming. Well, speaking of national, we turn our attention to D.C. with legislation in the House and the Senate, the future of the filibuster. We have an expected budget coming from President Biden very soon. We have competing infrastructure plans, so much to talk about. And joining us in our conversation is Los Angeles Times White House reporter, based in D.C., of course, Eli Stokols. Eli, so good to have you with us again on Air Talk.
Great to be back with you.
Let's start, first of all, with infrastructure. Republicans have upped their infrastructure price tag on their proposal, but I know there's disagreement on where that money would come from in the Republican plan versus the president's. Can you briefly walk us through that?
Sure. So to start at the beginning, more than a month ago, the White House outlined a $2.25 trillion proposal on infrastructure. And that was a lot of hard infrastructure, roads and bridges, broadband networks, and also human infrastructure, money for home health workers and things like that. The GOP did not like that plan, and they didn't like the president's proposed pay for, which is what you call funding mechanisms in Washington. The pay for the president put out there was to raise taxes on corporations. Republicans said absolutely not. And unlike the negotiations on the COVID relief package, where the president basically said, okay, we're too far apart, I have to act quickly, I'm moving on without you, and going it with just Democrats and passing this through reconciliation, where you only need 50 votes. Biden on infrastructure, for a number of reasons, many of them political, said, look, we're gonna really try hard to negotiate a bipartisan deal here. And the progress has been really slow. They've kind of been batting the tennis ball back across the net at one another for a few weeks now. The Republicans today, the White House last week, I believe, came down from its initial proposal about $550 billion to the $1.7 trillion range for infrastructure. Republicans said, well, that's still too much. And they've been saying, well, Biden will take $1 trillion. It's his staff that wants a bigger package. That's what they've been saying. Talking to folks in the White House, that's not exactly right. But that's been the Republican talking point, and it kind of tipped their hand as to what they were going to do today, which, lo and behold, is a new counteroffer of just under $1 trillion. Today's offer from Republicans, $928 billion. Most of that going toward the traditional infrastructure items, roads, bridges, airport runways, railways, things like that, not the human infrastructure and the things that more, are more desirable on the progressive side that the White House has pushed for. If you look closely at this, though, Larry, the Republicans are only proposing the $928 billion figure. That's the total number. But it actually amounts to just $257 billion in new spending. The Republicans are proposing to pay for these investments largely using money that has already been authorized from the American Rescue Plan, the $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package that Biden enacted with just Democratic support in the Senate back in March. And the White House has basically said, look, we're going to look at this proposal. We're not shutting down negotiations. But the White House says that money's already allocated. It's already spent. We're not taking it away from other things. And so the upshot is there's a lot of back and forth. The White House has yet to pull the plug on these negotiations, but they started out so far apart, and they continue, despite all this kabuki theater, the back and forth, and the we're negotiating in good faith, happy talk, they are still roughly $1.4 trillion apart. Because, again, the White House wants $1.7 trillion in new spending, and their new Republican offer today is just $257 billion in new spending. Most of the money getting up to that $928 billion mark is redirecting money that already exists, and the White House says we're not going to do that.
We're talking with Los Angeles Times White House reporter Eli Stokols joining us on Air Talk. What's the status of the policing bill that's passed the House of Representatives? I know there have been negotiations to try and come up with a bipartisan policing reform measure. Where does that stand?
Well, I suppose a little behind schedule, like infrastructure. Biden laid out Memorial Day as his kind of deadline on infrastructure, wanting to see progress on infrastructure by Memorial Day. The deadline that he set for police reform to pass has come and gone. That was Tuesday, the one-year anniversary of the killing of George Floyd by Minneapolis police officers. And that was when the president had hoped to see a bill on his desk on police reform. There is no bill on police reform that we have seen yet, but the bipartisan group of lawmakers that are working on that, Tim Scott, the only black Republican in the Senate from South Carolina, working alongside Cory Booker, the Democrat from New Jersey, and in the House, Representative Karen Bass, well-known to folks in Sacramento, obviously, a very experienced lawmaker. And there is a lot of optimism that even though they've missed this deadline, they are close to some kind of agreement. Tim Scott said yesterday that June is sort of make or break month on this. And so obviously that's right around the corner. And so depending on what you want to believe here, there could be something happening on this, soon-ish. The question is, what's it going to look like to get to a compromise piece of legislation? One of the biggest sticking point on this is the matter of qualified immunity. That's a legal precedent that generally insulates police from civil lawsuits for their actions on the job. That's something that a lot of activists on the left believe has to go if there's going to be meaningful police reform. And that is something that Republicans are really resistant to getting rid of. And so that is the main sticking point. And we'll see if and when this working group produces an actual proposal. We'll see what's in it, and we'll know then whether it's going to be able to get support from both sides of the aisle, what the numbers will look like. So at this point around the White House, there is tempered optimism about potentially getting a bill on the president's desk sometime in the first part of the summer. But at this point, there's still a long way to go.
We're anticipating that tomorrow President Biden will propose a $6 trillion budget. It would be the highest sustained level of federal spending since World War II. It would run deficits above $1.3 trillion through the next decade. Just briefly, Eli, are expected to be his new initiatives included in this budget?
Well, a lot of them we're pretty familiar with already because this is the president. We know that President Biden has already, $1.9 trillion for the coronavirus rescue package. And then his proposed spending, again, the budget is really just a proposal. It's not necessarily something that Congress is going to adopt in full. But, this proposal, the additional $4 trillion in spending, he's already outlined it. This was his infrastructure package. And the companion package, which is referred to in the White House as the American Families Plan, and that was a lot of investments for workers and for families, 2 years of subsidized community college, 2 years of universal preschool that is covered by the government, an extension of the child tax credit that was in the coronavirus relief package, and a host of other things, expanded paid leave, paid family leave. So there are a lot of elements. And again, this is another. These are all investments that are paid for by raising taxes on corporations and the uber rich. And so, is this budget going to actually become, you know, authorized? Like, is Congress going to authorize the spending? Obviously not, right? We're, in terms of, you're seeing that with the infrastructure debate and the resistance on the Republican side to even touching the tax reform changes from 2017, and raising the rate on corporations, changing some of, you know, rolling back some of the lower rates for the wealthiest Americans. And so, you know, this is a statement of priorities for this White House and a signal of where they want to go. But a lot of the spending in there is not exactly a surprise to anybody, because this administration's been talking about it for a long time. And notably, there are not new investments in healthcare, prescription drug reform, things like that, that progressives have wanted to see. That is not included in the budget that the White House will lay out tomorrow.
And just real quickly, Eli, does it appear there's any chance that the January 6th commission, which Democrats want to establish, and there was some degree of Republican support in the House for it, any chance that's going to pass the Senate, or does that just appear it's not going anywhere?
I think that, you know, we're watching to see right now, but I think given that, you know, Mitch McConnell, who strongly criticized President Trump for his role in the insurrection, you know, in the days right after that, you know, has sort of snapped back to this position of pressuring Republicans in the Senate to vote against this. The concern for Republicans is this just metastasizes into a narrative and a story that is going to hound them for months heading into next year's midterm elections. And Republicans just want to tamp this down. And McConnell said today, look, there's nothing new we're going to find out about this from a commission. Obviously, it did take place in public view, but there are a lot of people who don't agree with that. But I think in the Republican caucus, when push comes to shove, most of these lawmakers will probably do as McConnell wants them to do, with the usual exceptions. Lisa Murkowski, senator from Alaska, said she's going to vote for it.
Okay.
I could see Mitt Romney voting for it, too, maybe a couple others. But there are already some who voted for impeaching President Trump the second time earlier this year. Senator Richard Burr is one from North Carolina, voted for impeachment and has signaled he's going to vote against the 1-6 commission.
Okay.
And so it seems pretty unlikely that that there will be 10 Republican votes.
All right. Eli, thanks so much. And we're still awaiting the announcement from the president on many of his ambassadorial choices. The president apparently wanting to announce all of them at once. And here in Los Angeles, of course, we're waiting to hear whether Mayor Eric Garcetti is among those choices for ambassador. His name's been linked with India, but we await the formal announcement and whether all these links between countries and individuals are all, in fact, going to be the choices once the formal announcement is made. Eli Stokols, thanks so much. D.C.-based White House reporter for the Los Angeles Times. Coming up, it's a primer on inflation, what that means for you and your personal finances, and for many of our younger listeners who haven't experienced significant inflation. We're just going to talk about what it is and how we're apt to experience it whenever it comes. We'll be back in just 1 minute on Air Talk.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.